praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your power working in us and through us. Thank you for making all things go in the direction of your will for our lives. Thank you because you have frustrated the plans of the wicked. Thank you for your honor you have placed on our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for battles you fought for us and won for us. Thank you, Lord, for controlling the situations of our lives to work in our favor. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, because you have allowed us to gain in so many ways. We have not lost anything, but we keep gaining so much. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your protection upon our lives and loved ones and relatives and family members. Thank you because we have not lost anyone to death, to untimely death. Thank you because no one is sick and hospitalized. Thank you for your faithfulness. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the Tuesday's Bible study classes we have been having in this ministry. Thank you for a lot you have taught us from your word and from your heart. Thank you for how we have grown spiritually through this knowledge you have imparted into us. And thank you for many lives all over the world that have been changed as they come in contact with these teachings. Thank you, Father. Be glorified, be magnified forever in Jesus' name. We ask, O Lord, that as we will be having another session of this class right now, another session of Bible study classes, O God, speak to us by your Holy Spirit. As I will be speaking, Lord, minister to every soul that are listening. Let us be strong. Let us be strengthened. Let us be revived and edified. Thank you, Father, because we know you shall do beyond our expectations. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. And we are going to continue with the introduction. Yeah, and you remember that we have been dealing with building a strong discerning spirit. Building a strong discerning spirit. Yeah, and I am not taking the teaching very fast. I'm taking my time on each of the points because I want these teachings to change your life. Yeah, as they are from my own wealth of experiences with God. Yeah, So I want to see this knowledge change your life. Yeah, that is why my focus is not just to raw things. My focus is to ensure that you understand these things. And not only that you understand, but that you apply it in your life. Because it is true and it is real. Yeah, and I have seen it produce great transformation in my life. I mean, these truths or messages, I've seen it produce great transformations in my life. Yeah, and I know it can produce the same in your life. So that is why we are still not in the introduction. Yeah, I'm not taking it fast. And also, this teaching would be published by the time we are done with this Burning Spirit topic. We'll try to make sure it becomes a book. Yeah, and God will help. God will help us, especially those that are typing it, turning it from voice or from audio to into a typed format. Yeah, so we're going to continue with point three on the introduction. And I said the confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. The confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. And I said some things about confusion during the last class, that is confusion of darkness, or the confusion that comes from the darkness, or from the kingdom of darkness, or from the realm of darkness. So now we are looking at the pollution of darkness, pollution that comes from the realm of darkness. Yeah. In the kingdom of God, pollution is opposite of purity. Yeah, and you cannot fully understand what pollution of darkness is if you have not understood what purity is, to be pure, what it means to be pure in the spirit, or to be pure in heart, or to be pure in your mind according to the standard of God, of God's kingdom, or of God's word. Yeah, except you understand what purity is, you won't fully understand what pollution is. Yeah. And before, I used to think that purity is a state of cleanness, which is true. Yeah. And I used to think that purity is when we cannot find dirty things somewhere. That purity means that when something is, you know, is free of impurities, or free of maybe, let's say, microorganisms, or yeah, like when something is clean. Yeah, but I got to know that purity is more than that. I mean, later I realized that purity is more than not having impurities in you, or dirt in you, or uncleanness in you. Yeah, I come to realize through the help of the Holy Spirit that purity means conformity to just one thing. I think I've thought about this before. Like conformity to just one thing. Yeah, meaning that when we look at you, we only find just one thing. And every other thing that is against that one thing is not in you. Yeah. And a good example is how gold is purified. Gold would be passed through a lot of very high temperature. You know, gold have to pass through high level of heat and fire. I mean, which means it has to go through fire. Now, when gold is being purified, what God is looking for is gold. Yeah, so everything that is not gold have to be destroyed. Yeah, have to be destroyed. Yeah, so purity is not just absence of some uncleanness. It is you being conformed to a certain standard. You being conformed to a certain law or to a certain nature. You know, such that when we look at you or when you are being screened by the eyes of God. Yeah, because the eyes of God has a screening ability. Yeah, when God looks at people, he screens them to see if they are pure. Yeah, so when God is screening people, or maybe I should say when God is screening Christians for purity, God is looking for how much have they conformed with his standard. How much are they looking like Jesus? Yeah, so God is not looking at, is there anger in this person? Is there pride in this person? Is there greed, covetousness in this person? God is not looking at that. God is looking at how much are you looking like Jesus in character, in behavior, in attitude, in nature. Yeah, that is what God is looking for. And the Spirit of God will keep crying out against you until you are 100% conformed to the same nature that is in Christ. Yeah. So the matter of purity is not about I'm a nice person. Yeah. It is not about I'm a good person. I have a good character. I do this. I do that. That is not what purity is about. You can be good, as in good in quotes. You do good things. People know you as a nice person. But yet, you are not pure. Because as far as God is concerned, you are not yet conformed to the nature of Christ. Yeah. You don't have the life of Christ in you. Yeah, so when I understand what purity is in the kingdom of God, then my battle against darkness became intensified. Because from that moment, I began to pay attention even to the way I think. I began to pay attention to the kind of thoughts that cross my mind. I began to pay attention to the kind of words that comes from my mouth. I began to pay attention to even how I do ministry, how I minister to people, and the motive by which I do things. Yeah, because I know that purity is not just by by looking nice or behaving nice or, you know, having a good character in quotes that the, you know, the society or the community recognize, or they can testify that, oh, that man is has a good character, that man is gentle, that man is nice, that man is generous. I realize that purity is far more than that. Yeah, it has to do with how much you have transformed into the nature of Christ. Yeah, that is what purity is. So it's about you becoming one with Christ in spirit, in mind, in nature, in lifestyle. You become one with Christ, 100%. Yeah, that is what purity is. So whenever God looks at you, what God is looking for is a man or a woman that is no longer alive, a man or woman whose Adamic nature, whose inborn traits, inborn characters, inborn, like the kind of person you have when you were born, a man that has lost that nature, the nature by, you know, the nature you came into the world with when your mom gave birth to you. God is looking for a man that have lost that nature and now is putting on a different nature, a divine nature, which is the nature of Christ. That until God see only the nature of Christ in you, as far as heaven is concerned, you are not pure. Yeah, if God looks at you and he still sees some part of you, he still sees you. When he looks at you, he still sees your, you know, your inborn nature, your fleshly nature. If God still sees that, it means you are not pure. Because God is looking for just one thing, just as the goldsmith, when he subject the gold to intense heat, the goldsmith is looking for just one thing. So the same way, whenever God looks at you, he's looking for just one thing. That is the nature of Christ. Yeah, every other nature that is different from the nature of Christ is impurity. Yeah, and you can see in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, how Apostle Paul explained it using his own life as an example. He said he has been crucified with Christ. Galatians 2, verse 20, he said, he's no longer him that is living, because he has been crucified with Christ. So meaning that he has died. So he said, the life he's now living is no longer his life. He is now Jesus that is living through him. Yeah, and he tried to make people understand how Jesus is the one living through him. He said he lived that life by faith, by trusting in Jesus to live his life through him. Yeah, not by him trying to live a life that can be acceptable before God. So Christianity is not about you trying to live in a way that God will accept and say this one is correct. No. It's about you giving up your life completely and allowing. So it's more of yielding. You are allowing another person to live his life in you and through you. And that person is Jesus. I don't know if you get it. So it's like you are yielding to another personality that is completely different from the person your mom gave birth to. Another personality that is completely different. In fact, most times opposite of the, you know, opposite of the person your parents gave birth to. I mean, the you that your parents gave birth to. You are yielding to a divine nature, or you are yielding to divinity that Jesus would now live his life through you, that you no longer exist, you no longer live. So that is what the Christian life is all about. Yeah, sometimes I would find myself in situations whereby I don't even know what to say again. I don't even know how to think again. And I feel like, how do I move on from here? And the Holy Spirit will just say, it's not your life. You are not living your Adamic life. You are not living your carnal life. You are living a divine life. So just yield. You say, the Holy Spirit will say, yield to the Spirit. I mean, yield. Go into the Spirit. Or be in the Spirit. Live in the flesh. Be in the Spirit. So when you are in the Spirit, then the Spirit will live through you. Yeah. And that Spirit that lives through you, that is the real you in Christ. The one that is so concerned about how to eat, how to make money, how to be wealthy, how to be rich, how to enjoy pleasures of the world, how to gain this, how to gain that. That one is not you as far as the kingdom of God is concerned. The real you is the one that manifests when you have yielded to the Spirit, when you have allowed the Spirit to live, to manifest through you. That you that now manifests is the real you in Christ. Yeah. So now, if we have understood purity as it is in the kingdom of God, then now you can see what pollution of darkness. I mean, now you can fully understand what pollution of darkness is. So in a simple statement, the pollution of darkness is everything that don't want the you in Christ, the you that is known in Christ, that is recognized in Christ, that is acceptable in Christ, live. So everything that is going on every day to make sure that Christ don't live in you and through you is pollution of darkness. Yeah, everything that devil is doing in every second, in every minute, to ensure that you don't live the Christ life, all of it combined, which there could be millions, there could be billions of, of oppressions going on every day to ensure that you don't live the life of Christ. So all of those things are pollution of darkness. And like I said, we have a lot of them. They are billions. If we should analyze them one by one, yeah, they are very complex. Yeah, very complex. In fact, if a spiritual person, you will agree with me that the whole world, as it is today, is full of great pollution of darkness. So you just step out of the house while walking on the street, the things you see, more more than 95% of the things you see, the things you hear, they are pollutions of darkness, including the people you interact with. They have become pollutions. They have become stains. They are pollutions of darkness. You see the way people dress today. Yeah. The seductive dresses people put on. Yeah. And many other things. You look at your phone, your browsing phone, and then you go through platforms like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and many other platforms. You see billions of pollutions of darkness there. Yeah, you watch TV, you switch on your TV in the house, and then you begin to look at all these TV stations, especially those ones that they stream all kinds of videos and movies, even some shows on the TV, some programs. You see thousands of pollution, billions of pollution coming out from your TV screen. Yeah, and like I said, the aim is to bring people, is to make people dead spiritually. That's the aim of the pollutions of darkness that is in this world, to kill people spiritually, meaning that they are making it difficult for people to be in the spirit. These pollutions are to ensure that people don't walk in the spirit, they don't live in the spirit, they don't yield to the spirit, that people are always carnal and worldly and fleshly, to the point that they have brought it into the church. They have brought these pollutions into the church. So you look at some churches, the way they dress, the kind of music they do there, the kind of dance, the way they dance, and even the kind of sermon or things they preach, even the way they do the preaching. So everywhere is so filled with these pollutions. You see it in the schools, campuses. You see it everywhere. And there are different categories of this pollution. Yeah, there is agriculture pollution, pollution of what we eat. Yeah, because much of what we eat has been poisoned by darkness. And the first target is to, there are some food that I will eat. I'm just giving you an example. There's some food that I will eat, and a few minutes after I eat that food, I'll start noticing a sexual urge rising in my body, in my blood, and I know without a doubt that it is that food that I hate. So though physically the food look like it's nice, but spiritually it has been poisoned. To do what? It has been poisoned to make people die spiritually, take people out of the realm of the spirit, to become carnal, and to remain in that realm of the flesh, which is the realm of death. Because the Bible says that to be carnally minded is death. Yeah, so there is agricultural pollution, there is medical pollution, a lot of pharmaceutical things we use. I mean drugs that we take. Though they will do some function, they will do some function in your body, but they have been spiritually programmed to kill your spirit. Yeah. Many things out there are pollutions of darkness. I mean, many things. many things. That is why sometimes when I'm interceding for the church, I begin to cry, because many people don't know these pollutions. And in fact, many people have come to love them. And they think, with those pollutions in their lives, they think they can please God. It's not possible. Except either you get rid of those pollutions, or you have enough fire that can neutralize them, that can neutralize their effects, and render them useless. You can't please God. It will be too difficult for you to please God. And that means you can't make heaven. I know what I'm talking about. Except you have received fire. I mean, you have prayed and fasted to a point that God has put one fire inside you. Fire of immortality that can destroy any trace of death. Yeah, that irrespective of what you hit or whatever you are exposed to, whatever temptations you are exposed to, you will still not die spiritually. That is, you will still not become carnal or be controlled by your flesh. Except that happens to you, with the level of pollution that we have in these last days, you can't please God. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. You can't. Why? Because every day people are dying spiritually. And it's because every we is polluted. I mean, every we is polluted. And we can even see everything is polluted. Yeah, but as I've said some time ago, in one of my teachings, that the remedy to overcoming the level of pollution that is in the world at this time, as God revealed to me in an encounter, that the remedy is seeking His presence and being in His presence always. Yeah, so there is a fire in the presence of God that will keep destroying these pollutions that enters into you. Some of them you can close the door of your mind to stop them from entering. But there are some that you just have to be exposed to them. They just will touch you. They just have to get in touch with you. Except you don't want to live in this world again. Yeah, but in as much as you continue to seek God's presence, you continue to live and walk in God's presence, meaning that you continue to be in the Spirit and to walk in the Spirit. You know, God told me in that revelation that the pollution will not affect those that are always with Him, always in His presence. Yeah, so that is, and then another thing I want to talk about in this pollution is that, I mean, concerning this pollution of darkness, is that you have to consider every negative situation as every negative situation God allowed you to go through. You have to see it as a refining fire to make you pure. Yeah, to make you pure. So, before, I used to be very sensitive to every situation that, you know, that is challenging, either challenging to my spiritual life, challenging to my faith, challenging to my health, or challenging to my obeying God's or doing God's will. Yeah, I used to be very sensitive. I used to feel like, why would God subject me to this situation, knowing that this situation is so full of temptations. You know, knowing that this situation can make me even sin against Him. Why would God subject me to poverty? Why would God subject me to, you know, this trial, these temptations. Oh, God, allow me to go through this, go through that. Yeah, but later when I grew, I realized that it was for my good. You know, it was for my good that God allowed me to go through those situations. Yeah, because they were meant to destroy some pollutions in me, some pollutions that have gone deep. You know, as cancer used to spread, and cancer will enter deep into internal organs, to the point that the doctor will say, this is stage 4 or stage 5, whatever they call it. And the doctor will say, just go and put your house in order, because in a few days you will die. Yeah, I realized that there are some deep pollution inside us that the only way God can get rid of such pollution is to make our physical environment uncomfortable, or if I can use the word harsh, it is to make our flesh, our physical environment very harsh, as in very uncomfortable or very painful. Yeah, so that through that pain, we will come out as pure as gold. Yeah, I believe you're getting me. Yeah, so from the time I realized this, I now begin to embrace pains. I begin to embrace discomfort. I begin to embrace inconvenience. I begin to embrace every negative thing that people hate in this world. I begin to like them because though I learned it in a hard way. If I had known that I'm supposed to fall in love with pains, maybe I would have grew, you know, maybe that phase of trial or that phase of the challenges wouldn't have been that long. God would have shortened it. But God did not shorten it. God made me go through it for a long time because He wants me to realize that I am helping you by making you go through pains. But how can you explain that to a normal human being? You say that God must be a wicked God. How God say He's helping me by making me go through pains? How does that make sense? But it made sense to me eventually. Yeah, because when I now realized that God subjected me to those situations, I mean situations that many people will run away from, I realized that God subjected it so that I can come out pure, so that some very deep pollutions, I mean some pollution that my Adamic nature, you know, has produced inside, deep inside of me. I mean pollution in form of pride, pollution in form of lust, pollution in form of greed. But I can, you know, as at that time, I can say that, oh, I'm not proud. I'm humble. But God knows that deep down, pride is there. Yeah. So I went through all these things so that I can be purified from the depths of me. And when God discovered that pollution is 100% uprooted, then He just take away the situation. He took away He took away those unpleasant situations as though they never existed. Yeah, so now maybe what you consider as a problem, as a, you know, terrible challenge in your life, maybe it is God trying to help you destroy pollutions that even you don't believe that is in you. Yeah, because many times people will not agree. I mean, especially people that are so self-righteous, They will hardly believe that they are wicked. Whereas deep inside of them, they are very wicked. But they don't know. Only that a situation has not happened yet that will bring out that wickedness that is in you. Yeah, that's why you think you are not wicked. Yeah, but before God, God knows who you are very deep. I mean, God knows who you are in depth. So that is why he wants to help you get freedom and get purified by, you know, by putting your flesh to test. So God put Abraham, look at the scripture and look at people that are God's favorite, people that were very close to God. You will see that God put them to several tests and trials. Yeah. So that he can know them. So many of us, God still don't know us. Yeah. Because we are not at the moment manifesting our true color, our true character. Yeah, many of us, the life we are living is neither pure nor impure. The life we are living is neither light nor dark. So God is still not sure about many Christians. Yeah, because several times he has tested you and you have in throughout that test, you did not choose him when he tested you. You chose darkness. You chose the path of darkness, but you did not know. Yeah, God did. God does his test many times. He tests us several times. Yeah, that is why God cannot commit certain assignment to certain people's hands. Yeah, because he knows they will fail. Because he knows who they are. He knows the person they are that is unknown to them. God knows who you are that is unknown to you. Yeah, so and every time God is trying to deliver you from who you really are by subjecting you to some harsh situations, so that through those harsh situations you can be refined. Like God is refined. You always pray and say, God, I don't want to go through this. God, I can't take this anymore. God, this is too hard. There's no food. There's no money. Oh God, I can't take this. And I go say, all right, let me, God will just do a miracle. And I say, yes, God, I will serve you forever. You have just blessed me. Glory be to God. But actually, God did not want to release that miracle at that time. He wants to use that situation to refine you. It's not as if he would not take care of you even in the midst of that pain or that challenging situation. God will still take care of you, but it will not be comfortable to you. Like whatever God does to you at that time, it, you know, will not actually solve the problem, but it will only help you to go through the problem till God sees that you are completely refined and transformed through that problem. Yeah, so God wants to use problems to deal with some hidden wickedness and darkness and pollution in the lives of Christians. He wants to use tough times to refine us. But many of us don't want to go through those times. Yeah, because we see it as God is unfair. Yeah, that is what I mean. That is another thing I wanted to talk about, pollution of darkness. Yeah, but one thing is certain from my experience, and that thing is that when God see that what he's trying to get rid from within you is now gone, he will not test you again. Yeah, he will not test you again. So meaning that, for instance, there are some things that God cannot test me with now, again, because I have passed. Just like you set exams for someone, and that person already know the answers and has passed. Yeah, so he doesn't have to subject me to those tests again. So usually, many problems we Christians call problems. Usually, many of them are God trying to test us, trying to test how much we love him and how much we are willing to trust him and depend only on him. Yeah, and when you pass that test, usually God will not test you with that situation again. So let's say, for instance, God tested you with poverty. And through the period of that poverty, you kept on depending on God. You did not complain against God. You did not murmur against God. You kept on trusting in God. You did not try to seek help from people. But you said, God, except it's either you help me or I die. And then God said, yes, that is my son. He has passed the test. And then God neutralized the poverty. I can assure you that from that moment, you will not be poor again. I can assure you. Yeah, because if you pass through this test and you come out refined, yeah, and then you come out transformed, then every time such situation appears in your life again, you win instantly. Because at that time, you have now developed a kind of a level of faith and strength that now neutralizes that situation that you've once gone through and, overcame. You now have the strength and faith that whenever the similar situation comes in, you overcome immediately. And you scale through immediately. I always tell people that if, let's say, for instance, I just found myself in a wilderness, like maybe in a deep forest, somewhere where there is no network, there's no communication, and I didn't even have a mobile phone to call anyone, and there is no way out of that forest or that place or that desert, and then there is no way to get food to eat, and there's no way to get water to drink. And let's say I just found myself, there may be somebody just picked me up and threw me there and said, we are coming back in 3 months' time to check if you will survive. No food, no way to come out, no one to call, no place to go, no water. I used to tell people that if I found myself in that kind of situation, that I will not die. I will survive. And as a matter of fact, By after 3 months, when they come, whoever is coming to check if I'm still alive, they will come and they will see that I am still alive. Now, why am I so sure? It's because of, what I have learned through those challenging situations. Yeah, it is because of how I've been refined. It's because of the kind of faith I now have, and which also means it is because of the kind of authority I now command from heaven, because I've been transformed through a trying time, a time where there was nothing to eat, where there was nothing to spend. And during that time, I did not, run away. I did not try to, look for a solution elsewhere that is not according to the will of God. Yeah, so because I have prevailed in such kind of situation, my faith prevailed. So that faith that prevailed, we always prevail in any similar situations like that. So if I'm in a desert and there is no food, I'm so sure that food will come. I don't want to know how. It will just appear. I'm so sure that water will come, and I don't want to know how. It will just appear. And I mean, I am so sure. And in fact, this kind of faith will work anywhere. So, I don't have to be in a place where I have friends and relatives. Even if I'm in a strange land where there's no friend, no relative, this kind of refined faith, I call it refined faith, because it's a faith that was developed through pains and tests and trials. Yeah, and that faith will always work. So now God is trying to teach you that kind of faith. And then you're saying, God, this suffering is too much. God just take it away, and then God consider you as a babe. God says you are not yet ready to grow. And God will say, okay, just take the money. God will just do the miracle, and then you are excited. Whereas maybe God should not do the miracle. Because if he doesn't do the miracle at that time, you would have grown beyond that level. May God teach you more of these things. I have said, yeah, because there's no way I can teach you everything, but the Spirit of God is able to teach you more. Now, let's move to the third part. I said the confusion, pollution, and deception of darkness. So we have talked about confusion. We have talked about pollution. So now, I want to talk about the deception of darkness. Yeah. The deception of darkness is an operation of darkness that is making people to believe lies as the truth. Yeah. It's an operation of darkness, making people to embrace darkness as the light. Now, we cannot say something is a deception if it is not being presented to people in a way that the people agree that it is true. Yeah, if let's say you are committing a sin right now, and then you know that it is a sin, and you are committing that sin, it is not deception. Why? Because you know that it is a sin. So when you know that this thing I'm doing is wrong, it is not deception. It is another operation of darkness. Maybe you can categorize it under addiction, yeah, or under oppression, or under slavery. Yeah. But when we say deception, we mean lies is being presented to people as the truth in such a way that people agree with it, believe it, that this is the truth. This is the right way to live. Even to the point that the same people are willing to kill for that thing that was presented to them as the truth. Whereas, it is not the truth. Yeah, so that is deception. And that is one of the prevailing operations of the dark kingdom in these last days. So there's a very high level of deception. So devil is packaging lies, packaging falsehood, And he's presenting it in a way that people just fall for it because they consider it to be what is right for them. They consider it to be the truth. And sometimes they will even persecute you if you try to challenge them and say, this thing you are doing is not right. This thing you have believed is wrong. Some of them will persecute you. Some of them will have you arrested. In fact, some of them can pick up a gun and shoot you. Yeah, because they believe that, you know, you are trying to confuse them. They believe that they are right and you are wrong. Yeah, so that's the kind of darkness we are dealing with in these last days. So which means that some of you hearing my voice right now might have been deceived and you don't know. Why? Because this deception is being packaged in a way that you will 100% see it as the right thing. Yeah. So some of you might have been deceived. And you don't know that you have been deceived. So that is why you have to pray some prayers that I prayed for myself some years back. You have to pray some prayers like, God, please search through my heart. Whatsoever I have believed to be true that is not true, please expose it to me. Correct me. Yeah, many people have been prophetically deceived. Like they've had voices, dreams, visions, prophecies that were not from God. And they believed those prophecies, they believed those voices. And up to now, they can't rise to fulfill their destinies. Yeah, because the more you have embraced a lie, the more you have believed a lie, the more limited you will be in destiny. So you won't be able to cross to the other side of destiny. So there are some pastors, some ministers of God that are very anointed. I mean very anointed. I mean that some of them have been used to heal many sick people. Some of them have been used to raise many dead people. But yet they are still limited in their calling and in their destinies. Why? Because they have been deceived at certain levels. Yeah, they have been deceived at certain levels of truth. So they consider what they are doing as the right thing. And they are even defending it, that what they are doing is right. That the way they, you know, what they believe is right. The way they have believed is right. Whereas, that is the limitation on their calling. And if, let's say tonight, God happens to miraculously open their eyes, and they now begin to refuse to believe that thing, that lie they have believed. I tell you, within 48 hours, their lives will transform. They will just somehow rise from the level they had to a very high level. Yeah, that's the truth. So lies and deception are very potent demonic agents of limitations. They will keep you limited to a certain spot, and you will not be able to move higher than that spot until you stop believing that lies. Yeah, so I hope that some of you will go to God secretly and ask Him to expose to you things you have embraced, lifestyles, cultures, traditions you have embraced, teachings, sermons, belief system or modernization, civilization you have embraced. You feel like this is how we do in the Western world. This is how we do in Africa. this is how we do in Europe, this is how we do in America. Yeah, so it's the norm, it's the right thing to do. And you even spiritualize it. There's a way people spiritualize deception. They even try to look for Bible verses to back up a lie. Yeah, whereas it is a lie. A lie is a lie. No matter how many verses in the Bible you quote to support that lie, it is still a lie. Whether you agree or not, it is a lie. Yeah, so maybe some of you need to seriously pray. Maybe you have been influenced with some churches you have gone, you know, you have attended before, some pastors or some church leaders or some men of God that you have followed at certain point. Maybe you have been wrongly influenced by the environment where they gave birth to you. Maybe you have been wrongly influenced because you are an African. Or you have been wrongly influenced because you're from the western part of the world. Yeah, and then that has made you to believe certain things to be the right way to live. And that belief system in your soul is the reason why you are still at this level you are, even in your spiritual growth. Maybe that belief system is the reason why you are still limited in every area of your life at this time. Yeah, so I pray that you will go to God and sincerely tell him to search through your spirit and soul and begin to expose lies that you have believed, even lies that your parents taught you to believe. Lies that your relatives or your siblings or your grandparents taught you to believe, but that is against the word of God, against the truths of God's kingdom. Yeah, I think some of you need to pray seriously so that God can expose these lies and you can now stop believing them. Because if you don't, I can assure you that you will not break some limitations in your life. You might make heaven. But when you get to heaven, you will regret that you did not know that thing you believed on earth was wrong. Yeah, because they will show you in heaven how much you would have done with your life if you had not believed that mindset or that mentality. Yeah. And in some cases, some people don't even get a chance to make heaven because they have believed lies. Now, there are some scriptures here that I want to look at. I want us to run through them and then we'll round off the session. Now, we have Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Romans chapter 1 verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Yeah. So Apostle Paul was speaking of a generation of people who have fallen victim of the deception of darkness. Yeah. He said they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Now, I'm going to give you an example. And it's an example that some of you might have heard about. Now, there is what they call UFOs. unidentified flying objects. And there is what people call aliens. Yeah, there is a belief system that there are some beings and creatures in some planets or some stars outside of this world. And that these creatures, among them we have some that are good, and among them we have some that are bad. Yeah, and why do people believe this? People believe that there are aliens in certain planets and stars in the universe, because these creatures have shown themselves in several, at several times, yeah, through several events and situations. So meaning that these creatures have been seen sometimes. They will fly their spacecraft across some places. So, and there was a time that one of their spaceship crashed, and they discovered these creatures. They barely look like humans, but they have this horrifying look, and they are known to be very intelligent. Yeah, so there are some details about these creatures that made many people in the scientific world, to try to know about who are these aliens and why are they visiting the Earth. Now, I did some research, and in my research, I began to see some people saying that they don't mind if the good species of those aliens, pay them a visit, that they don't mind, embracing the technology that comes from these aliens. So some said that they don't mind, to work with them, to have them as friends and all of that. So the scientific world has, I don't know if I should even call it scientific world, but this belief system, you can research about it. You can research about aliens, extraterrestrials, entities, and you can research about UFOs, unidentified flying objects. You can research about that online, and then you will see many people's opinions. So some believe that because of the exposure they have had with those creatures, Some begin to agree that those creatures were the ones that created heaven and earth. Some begin to agree that that these creatures, is their God, and that they were actually meant to serve them, and stuff like that. Yeah, but the truth is, those creatures, they are there are some kind of breed of demons. Yeah, there are a breed of demons that are now coming physically to engage with people and to give people impression that they are good kind of species or good creatures. And they have at several times shared their technology with mankind, and many of the technology, maybe I should not use the word many, some of the technology that we use today, they have alien background, alien origin. So these creatures from the second heaven, so I would call them creatures from the second heaven, because the realm of the stars, the realm where we have planets, is not the realm that God is. God is still higher than that. So where God is the third heaven. So I call them creatures from the second heaven. But they are coming as, they are coming like they are some creatures that have advanced in science, advanced in technology, and they are trying to technologically capture people's souls. In fact, I was watching a video, and one of the, that presenter in that video, or the person was anchoring that program. It was a video, I think, on YouTube. He was saying that that, when I had that, I was like, God, only you can deliver this generation. You know, he was saying that, he said most human beings are not manifesting their inbuilt spiritual abilities. Yeah, he said through interactions with aliens, he got to realize that human beings are meant to be supernatural beings. And then he got to know that human beings can develop their spiritual ability to the point that all those miracles that they say Jesus did in the Bible, human beings will do even far more than that. And, you know, they were teaching, he was teaching that if human beings can develop themselves, there's no need to, you know, to believe in Jesus. There's no need to believe in God for miracles, for interventions. So you can see that deception there. Yeah, you can see that deception there. And many people in the Western world, many people in Europe, in America, they are falling for that deception. So many people are going into, you know, are doing some kind of spiritual exercises like meditation, like remote viewing, like some exercises, some I don't know how to describe some of them. So a lot of people are practicing spiritism and satanism. Yeah, and they are saying it's called self-awareness. It's called self-enlightenment. So then, yeah, that we are trying to improve our spirituality so that we can enjoy the benefit of the universe. Stuff like that. Now, I know some of you might not have heard about this before, but before you hear about it, that is why I'm telling you now. That if you happen to hear about those contents or those teachings, know that it is another lie from the realm of darkness. So there is no alien anywhere or creature anywhere that is good in the universe. Yeah. No creature anywhere. They are all fallen angels. Yeah. They are all fallen angels. Angels, yeah, and if they are telling you that you can develop yourself, improve your spirituality without, you know, without emphasizing on your surrenderness to Jesus, your total submission to God, to the Almighty God, then run from such kind of initiation or training. Yeah, that is just an example. So maybe next week I might give you some examples of how certain people, certain organizations are now turning the truth of God in nature into lies. Yeah, how they are trying to make people worship what God has created instead of worshiping the Creator. Yeah, because people are now worshiping themselves. That, you know, that is that the concept of self-awareness, self-consciousness, boost your consciousness. In fact, they tell you that there's a way you can train your spirit, that your spirit can know things happening very far away and can know it very accurately. That is witchcraft. Yeah, except the Holy Spirit is revealing things to you. The Holy Spirit is making you see things. You trying to see anything, even if that thing is true or not, you trying to see anything without the Holy Ghost is witchcraft. Yeah. So next week I'll try to give you more examples of how men have turned the truth into a lie and how men are worshiping the Creator and not the Creator. And that's one of the highest level of deception that is going on right now in the world. Yeah, the highest levels of deception. Now, I don't know if some of you have questions, but If you have questions, you can ask on the group platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for this teaching. You are making us learn at this time. Thank you for showing us the confusion, the pollution, and the deception of darkness so that we would be able to accurately discern what is right from what is wrong. Lord, I ask that in whatever way anyone who have had this teaching has been deceived, Lord, I ask that you shine your light in their heart and let your light be so strong that the darkness of deception and pollution and confusion in their lives are utterly destroyed in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will not fall victim of everything the devil is doing at this time to deceive Christians in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Yeah, don't forget to ask questions.
Goodbye.